Right, this is John Coleman. I will call the CROG Cost Review Subcommittee meeting for Monday, June 27th, 2022 to order. And before I turn it over to Karen for the roll call, I just want to let you all know that CPM is broadcasting this meeting as well as the following full CROG Transportation Committee meeting. So know that we are in fact being broadcasted on CPM. With that, Karen, could you please do the roll call?
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone. We're going to start with the town of Andover. Avon?
Larry Burrell here.
Berlin?
Mike Ahern here.
Bloomfield?
John Coleman here.
Bolton?
Patrice Carson is here.
Canton, Columbia, Coventry. East Granby, East Hartford.
Doug Wilson here.
East Windsor. Ellington. Enfield. Farmington.
Russ Arnold's here.
Glastonbury. Granby.
Kirk Severance.
City of Hartford. Hebron.
Kevin Kelly's here.
Manchester.
Jeff Lamalva here.
Mansfield.
John Carrington here.
Marlborough. City of New Britain.
Jason Outlaw.
I'm sorry, your name, please?
Jason Outlaw. I'm filling in for Ron.
Okay, thank you. Plainville. Newington.
Gary Furstenberg, Newington.
Rocky Hill. Simsbury.
Tom Roy's here.
Summers. South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle's here.
Southington. Stafford. Suffield.
Aaron Isherwood, Suffield.
Tolland. Vernon. West Hartford.
Jim Vernon here.
Wethersfield.
Eric Greger here.
Willington. Windsor. Winter locks. I think that's it, John.
Thank you, Karen. Welcome to you all. And is there anyone here from the public that wishes to address the subcommittee at this point? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll move on to item number three, which is the adoptance of the minutes of the meeting we held on April 25, and I entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Second, Russ Arnold.
Thank you, Russ. Are there any corrections, deletions, additions? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions. If you're abstending, please one at a time and name and town.
Doug Wilson, East Hartford.
Evan Kelly from Hebron.
Any other abstentions? Thank you. The motion, the minutes are approved as distributed. We'll move on to the recap of the CONDOT meeting on Rural Transportation Rural Improvement Program. Rob and Satoria.
Yeah, thanks, John. This is a new program that CONDOT is proposing. This has been put up, the materials for it have been put up, or the draft materials for it have been put up on the website after the posting, because the meeting was last Tuesday, so it was after our mailing. But I want to give everybody a heads up on what it contains. It's draft, and so they're looking for our comments from the COGS by the end of July. This is a program for rural towns. It is not the same as LOTSIP and is not the same as community connectivity. It's kind of a blend of the two, but specifically for rural towns. So in the past, I think we've called it rural LOTSIP. It's not going to be the same guidelines. They're calling this one TRIP, or Transportation Rural Improvement Grant Program. So some of the key things, if you go to the next page, Ryan, is the timeline. It looks like, you know, after they get our comments, they're going to try to, and this is all comments from all the COGs, they're going to try to come up with a set of final guidelines and a solicitation announcement in maybe the August timeframe. And then we would have to get them applications to CONDOT in the February timeframe, which means that we'd probably need town applications by the end of the calendar year, and that the grant awards would come out sometime in the spring. Now, as you can see from the table below that, this really only applies to 8 CROG towns. They have come up with a criteria for what they consider rural, which is different than what we came up with. If you remember, we have a rural set aside for LOTSIP, and that was a criteria we came up with on our own. We floated a few options in front of our committee and came up with our own criteria, and it was based on land area that is rural inside of a town. Their criteria, you know, they do not, you know, they're not really privy to our criteria. They came up with their own criteria, which was if 50% or more of the population in a town is living in a designated rural area, they considered that rural. So they, by that criteria, there are 8 CROG towns that would be eligible. We have 15 towns under our criteria. So the seven towns which would not be eligible that are under our LOTSIP criteria are Granby, Suffield, Canton, Marlborough, Mansfield, Tolland, and Ellington. So if you go to the next page, Ryan, you can see a map of the whole state of what, by their criteria, anything colored here by their criteria is rural. So this addresses a lot, especially a lot of the towns in the Northwest Hills that are very, very rural, and, you know, Northeast Hills and that, but also 8 of our towns would be included in this criteria. They have allocated $5 million a year towards this program, and this solicitation would be for 3 years of that, so it would be for $15 million. Now, that's for the whole state. So it's would be a $15 million solicitation for all these, for just these rural towns, which would be eligible. So that is their idea as to what this program would entail. And if we go to the next page, one thing I should say is mentioned we have 8 towns. They're going to run this where we don't have our own budget within CROG. It's going to be a statewide solicitation. And we would select 4. Every town would be allowed 1 application, and we'd select 4 of those applications to forward on to CONDOT. So CROG would screen. We're allowed to submit 4 to CONDOT. We would screen out of the 8 if we get 8. We'd screen the top 4 and send them over to CONDOT to compete statewide. This contains some of the eligibility and screening requirements and the rating criteria that they're going to use. And there's more details in the handout as to each one of these selection criteria with the maximum points of 100. A lot of ability for public support, public benefit, safety benefit, connectivity benefit. They also have 10 points in here for rural demographics, which is an interesting one because you'd receive 10 points if you're 100% rural in your town and less if you were less rural in your town, which is, I thought, kind of an interesting rating criteria, and readiness to proceed. So all these are detailed in a more detailed table. This is a summary of their table, but if you download the handout, if you're one of those 8 towns, you'll see everything in more detail. in the four or so pages of the detailed table. Again, it's a three, like Lot SIP, it's a $300,000 minimum project cost. There are various other requirements to be eligible, pretty much the standard ones, complying with federal law of American Disabilities Act, things of that nature, being related to the surface transportation system. The one eligibility factor that this would allow for that Lot SIP doesn't is minor rural collectors would be eligible. So local things federally classified as a local road still are not eligible, but federally classified as a rural minor arterial are not eligible for Lot SIP, but would be eligible under this program. And if you look at the federal functional classification maps, those are roadways colored in yellow. So for those rural towns, it does open up that possibility of those additional roadways. So that is kind of a high level summary of this. We're asking towns to dig into details if you want to and send us your comments, preferably in the next 2 weeks, so we can come up with a draft letter to have in our next mailing of our comments back to CONDOT, which would be the CROG's comments on this program. The eligibility is what's considered a rural town is very interesting because it's different than what our definition was for Lot SIP. There may be comments on that, but do know if we expand that criteria, there's going to be a lot more towns eligible statewide. And there is limited amount of funding for this. It's $15 million for the solicitation statewide. So, I'm not sure if anybody has comments right now. I'd sure love to hear them. If you want to digest all the 10 pages or so they provided us and get us comments in the next 2 weeks, that would be appreciated too. So any comments or questions now?
Rob, can I just mention one thing? We have to get comments to CONDOT by the end of the month. I misspoke before when I told you. So CROG has to get comments to CONDOT by the end of the month. So yes, so if we could get comments from the committee in the next 2 weeks, and then that way we could post or provide the comments to the committee at the July TC meeting.
By the end of July, we need the comments, right, to CONDOT?
No, the we have to provide them to CONDOT by the end of July. So it would be better if we receive the comments in order to post it for the next meeting, the next TC mm-hmm. meeting, which would be July 15th, is when we do the next posting. So in the next 2 weeks.
In the next 2 weeks, yep.
Yeah.
So that would mean, let's say by the 8th, if we could get comments in, that way that's gives you this week and next week.
Do you foresee... You choose and send up four projects. Do you see them choosing a project from each region or not?
I think they will choose at least one from each region, two.
Not necessarily, they said. At the meeting, they said it's open. You know, hopefully they'll choose one from our region, but that's not a given.
Okay. Now, with the criteria, if you go, Brian, could you go back a couple slides? If you see here, there's 59 towns that meet their rural criteria in Connecticut, and the COGS are allowed to submit 30 applications. So with $15 million being the amount they have to fund, obviously they're not, unless the average cost of an application is $500,000, that would be the only way they could fund all 30. If they get in $2 million applications, they'd only be able to fund, seven or eight. But that gives you kind of an idea. I would assume applications in the $1 million range would compete well. I think if they see things at 3 million or 4 million, you know, it's going to take up too much space in the program. And they probably, even if it's a worthwhile project, I can see them passing on it. But that's just my thoughts of how they'll do it. They're probably going to try to spread the money around a bit.
Thanks.
So Tori or Rob, Peter, they mention a match, even though we're not qualified. I'm just curious. They mention a match that your engineering and so are they requiring a match?
No, it's from what I read, it's the same as lots of where the town pays for the design, and then this pays for the construction 100%. Satoria, is that correct?
Yes.
Rob, you listed a number of towns that weren't eligible. How is it that towns such as Marlboro is not considered rural?
Because the state owns 30% of our land and they do it by per square mile population. So we're concentrated. We've been an MS4 town for years, and there's towns five times the size of us that aren't MS4. It's just by population density.
That's insane.
What's your population in Marlboro?
6,100.
Yeah, it's the same for Summers.
And when you look, you know, and if you read it and you look, John, and at their map, anybody,
Ryan, go to the map.
You know, we know that Andover doesn't qualify for anything. Unfortunately.
And then they have the same issue with a whole bunch of state-owned property. I mean, that seems to be
Plus, they don't have the roads that match. You know, they don't have the rural collectors. And then when you look at Suffield and Bolton, they're not going to get a lot of the 10 points on the population because, you know, they're at the 60 to 70. It's really the red and dark blue towns.
Yeah. Suffield's not eligible.
And not Suffield. Whatever the I can't see it, John.
Stafford.
I mean, they have, you know, I don't see those towns having high probabilities.
Karen Isherwood and Suffield here. My comments are the number one in our CROG district is Columbia based on their criteria for rural, and they have no yellow roads. Andover has one, which is, it looks like Route 603, which is a state route. Willington has one. So these are the top three towns for CROG. And the number one doesn't help them at all.
Well, we can make our comments, probably fall on deaf ears. But it seems to me that.
Now, is this state money or federal money?
State money.
But they're going to apply the federal definition of rural.
Right.
Just like lots of.
Right. This is the surface transportation block grant has two categories. One is for urbanized areas and one's for rural areas. They used to call it STP rural. And that's these eligibility criteria seem to align with that STP rural category, which does allow the minor collectors in addition to the other federally eligible, but that seems to be the criteria they're going by. I mean, they, you know, obviously they don't have to with state money unless they view that as their fallback funding source. I don't know.
Is there legislation backing this, or is this just CONDOT initiative?
CONDOT initiative, as far as I know, I haven't heard of any legislation, so I'm pretty sure it's a CONDOT initiative.
Because it would seem to me that legislators from the Northeast and the Northwest may have leaned on CONDOT to make this happen, because that's about the only place there's any eligibility of significance.
So for comments, loosening roadway eligibility requirements.
Yeah, I mean, come on, if it's going to be rural, let's make it rural.
And what do you mean by that? Like going beyond the yellow roads?
Letting I guess local roads be eligible.
Be eligible. Okay.
Is that the thought of the?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Any other comments, or would people rather digest the memos and get them in?
Well, I'd like to see a more significant funding allocation. I mean, $5 million a year isn't not going to go very far in this day and age.
Okay, well, and if by the 8th anybody can give us some additional comments, we will draft up our comments and have them available at our next mailing and get them over to CONDOT.
All right, anything else on item 4? Thank you, Rob and Satoria. We'll move on to item number 5, which is the 2023 LOTSIP project solicitation draft schedule and funding allocations. Satoria, are you or Rob going to take that one?
I'm going to take it to start off. So good morning, everybody. So this is as a result of the May meeting, when we talked to the presented to the Transportation Committee, they endorsed the goal of trying to over-program the LOTSIP program. So to meet that, we came up with some recommendations for an upcoming solicitation, timeframes, amounts, financials, a draft schedule, so for a potential 2023 LOTSIP solicitation. So what we're proposing is approximately $25 million in LOTSIP projects. We've come up with two different schedules and two different amounts, which isn't set in stone, of course. It can be changed. And then we envision a $43 million solicitation in 2024, which is our normal solicitation. So this would maintain an over-programming schedule. So if you look at the graph below, it actually over-programs $14 million in next July of 2023, $39 million in July of 2024 because of our budget allocation, and $20 million in FY25. So that's kind of the goal of our financial projections. If you look at the graph below, you can see how the dotted line extends out, and also the bar graphs that are, you know, the slanted bars, those show how between the budget solicitation, how we are trying to over-program our LOTSIP program. So that kind of clearly depicts what our goal is. So if you look at the next slide, you can see we came up with two different schedules. So one is a schedule based on reviewing the project selection criteria, and it's kind of a what we would do in a normal solicitation. And then the second schedule is more of a compressed schedule. So we heard feedback from both. So, you know, we're open to any suggestions. There's no preference either way. Some like it, some don't. So we're kind of presenting it to the committee to get the feedback. So the first one, if you look at the first two, we would review the selection criteria or selection policy both in July. So that would be for the first schedule and also for the second schedule. Now, where we get to the compressed schedule in the second one, we would actually send out and issue our letter to the municipalities in August, whereas it would be in November for the first schedule. And then we're also planning a pre-application workshop, which is optional, just to kind of go over some of the selection policy information and how we can better our applications, and it's completely optional to the municipalities. And then in the first one, you can see how in February 2023, we have proposals due to CROG, whereas in the second proposal, the proposals would be due in November of 2022. So, and then in the first one, it would be where we review, we rank, and review and present it to the committee, kind of similar to our other schedule in April and May, have everything approved by the policy board then, whereas in the second schedule, it'd be more compressed and we would be ready to go with the applications in February of 2023. So it's really up to the committee which schedule we're willing to work with, whatever schedule is necessary. The only difference would be we really couldn't make a lot of changes to the selection policy if we're doing more of the compressed schedule, but we just came out of a solicitation, so that may not be an issue for anyone. So I'd like to just stop here for one moment. If there's any feedback on either one of those schedules, I'd like to hear from the committee if that's a possibility, and then we can move on to the amounts.
Thank you, Satoria. Comments?
I'll start, John. Peter, I'd go with the longer schedule. We're not pushing projects to get money. We're pushing projects to open them up.
I also did hear from another town that preferred the longer schedule. The summers were pretty busy with construction projects, and they, you know, we just had a solicitation, and they felt like, you know, they'll be clearing up applications and stuff, so they would prefer the longer schedule.
What was the push for the shorter schedule? Was it for budgetary purpose or town budgetary reasons, so people could line things up in their budget?
It was just to give another option to municipalities if they felt that they wanted to get things in sooner.
I think part of it may have been from me, Patricia. I got to see an earlier draft, and I asked of whether it could be compressed. My hope was that maybe if it was compressed, we could actually get some construction going in the 2023 construction season, but maybe that's being far too optimistic on my part. Otherwise, we're going to go all the way to the, obviously construction won't start till the 2024 season.
Right.
But I have the luxury of not having to be within the actual process. So I would obviously defer to those of you who are actually preparing them and then implementing them.
I'm in the same boat, John, and I'm indifferent about it and would defer to the people who are preparing the plans.
Make a statement?
Certainly.
So I agree with the compressed schedule, and but with everything else that goes on, and then plus the review time, unless it was a very simple, straightforward project, which there are very few and far between, I don't know if we would get the review time back to get work done in the, you know, the calendar year of 23.
That's fair. Todd, you have a comment?
Yeah, I would kind of echo that sentiment as maybe I'm the community that Rob was talking about. Coventry, we've been pretty successful, and we've got a couple of ideas for the next round as well. So it's an office of one putting this these applications together. As much as I don't think my boss would like to hear me say these words, keeping a schedule as we've had to this date, I think, is in the long run a better thorough application than trying to compress something and might having more comments to ultimately address by Krog's consultant when we get to that point.
Thank you, Todd. Any other comments? Well, my sense, Rob and Satori, is that at least as expressed, the preference is for the standard procedure in the longer schedule. It doesn't seem to be any big push for the compressed schedule, and it may not achieve what one would have hoped to achieve.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So
we thank you.
Okay, so let's look at the amounts then. So we came up with two different funding allocations. We're going to look at the bridge first, because the bridge is what came up after the last solicitation. So I just like to focus on the bridge. The last time we've done a bridge solicitation was in 2017, and it was for $10.5 million. May have been even a little bit higher because we had some cost increases. So it might have been a little bit higher. Most of them were replacement projects instead of, rehabilitation projects. So that's why we put replacement projects, but everything is subject to change. So I'd just like to hear from the committee on what they think if the two bridge allocations, we have 8 million or 6 million. The first set of allocations is kind of based on the 25 million and then kind of based on what we did closely to the last time. The second one is strictly half of what our normal solicitation is. So that's why we came up with the other funding allocation. So just if we could get some feedback on the bridge.
And let me just add that we have heard over the past couple of years folks asking when the next bridge solicitation would be. In looking at these two, and we kind of just came up with a couple options, and in thinking that this is like a, we had a solicitation in 2022, we're going to have our regular solicitation in 2024 also. So this is an interim solicitation. So we're going to have three in a row. And then I was looking at these thinking, geez, is this even enough for the bridges, either one of these? But I defer to the group regarding how much need there is for, or how much appetite there are for replacing bridges in this.
And it would be based on different criteria rather than what we normally rank bridges. So the criteria would be a little bit different so that in our normal solicitation, the bridges don't usually rank very high. So this is a reason for a specific bridge solicitation included in this solicitation.
One question, I guess, so I get a better understanding. This 25 million is coming out of the 43 million, correct?
No.
No, it's separate. It would be so that we could be over-programmed.
I'm saying if you accept projects, we're over-programmed. We go out to a solicitation. Aren't those accepted projects going to be funded out of the 43 million?
No.
We're going to have another solicitation next year.
How are you going to fund these then?
How are we funding them? Well, we're aiming to get over-programmed.
So I'm over-programmed. I have a project that's in, but I don't have the money. And then you get the 43 million. I'm not getting the money. I have to.
No, as long as you have a commitment to fund letter, then Conduct will honor the commitment to fund the project.
No, I'm just trying to understand what, if you overprogram, are these going to be the priority projects, I guess, the way to say it, in the 43 million? Or do they just sit on the side and then when money comes available, they go in?
No, they will be prioritized. We will definitely review them as we have any solicitation.
Go back, Ryan, two slides. And I think this was a subcommittee that you might have missed, Peter. But
yeah, I missed. That's why I'm trying. Basically
what we proposed to the committee was to and ConDOT is encouraging us to get over programmed.
Oh, I understand that.
Because if you look at the yellow line, that's what we spent. And if you look at the budgeted amounts in the light blue, we're leaving $100 million on the table right now because so many projects are in design. And they can't go to, OPM is starting to harp on them saying, why aren't you guys spending your money? And so we're trying to get to an over-programmed place where when, by the time the projects are designed, the problem is the projects are sitting in design so long that, yeah, we don't have that money budgeted, but by the time they're delivered, we'll have another $60 million, of budget. We can never catch up, So although we are over program, we are aiming to get over programmed compared to what's budgeted. By the time these projects roll to the finish line, we'll have more money to fund them. You know what I mean?
So it might be a budget in future years,
right?
Where they're funded, we're depending
budgeting against future years that aren't budgeted yet. Programming against those.
Does that answer your question, Peter?
Somewhat.
It's a difficult thing. I mean, the money is not, it's true, the money is not sitting in the bank once you get approved by us. And once you get a commitment to fund, there's no, chunk of money. But if we go by that criteria, we're never going to.
So you're just going to perpetually over program.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Like I said, I'm a little slow, but I get there.
Yeah,
Ryan, you can go back to the funding allocations if you want. That's okay, right, Bob?
As far as the funding, I like I said in my email, I recognize people need to do bridges, and maybe we just need to set every two or three solicitations, we do a bridge solicitation. I think that's gets them in the door. As a standalone, because like you said, they don't do well when they're mixed with reconstruction. But the dollar amount, you can, I just don't want to see it hurt the other programs. I'd rather go with the second category of funding where it's the straight 50. But I think we should recognize bridges every two or three solicitations.
Okay, thank you.
Aaron Isherwood from Suffield. I'm kind of facing a situation right now where I've got a bridge that has the small bridges, was awarded less than $1 million a couple of years back. Price went up to 1.295. It is designed. We've gotten more money, and here we are still almost a year and a half after that increase was approved. Still not permitted through the state. And I just have a new increase that they're telling me 2.2 million. And at 50%, now I have to go back to this town and ask for another million. So, I mean, I saw this listed on your agenda and I started looking at it and saying, okay, so 80% for this, maybe I might just be better off coming in with an application for this if it's gonna be in the near term. Am I off base?
What kind of funding do you have now?
The state local bridge.
Oh, okay.
So you would have to, formally, leave that program in order to apply for LOTSIP. You can't have two funding sources, but LOTSIP would be 100% if it's fully designed and you have the permits, then it would go. You could apply for whatever the 2 million it would go as quickly as possible, once you got the commitment to fund letter. I don't know which one would be quicker.
I'm just wondering, were state fund, was any state or federal funding used in the design?
No.
No? Okay. Then I would think it'd be fine.
You may want to have a direct offline conversation regarding this.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I said, I think it might be useful for you and CROG staff to have a direct offline conversation
quickly. Yeah, I think it's probably more than we can address here, but sounds like it could be promising. Are there other towns that were planning to submit bridges? I'm just trying to get an idea of the appetite. As we have, you know, we're looking to go out for 25 now and 43 next year. So that's
substantial.
Very good, Sotaria.
Thank you. $68 million, I guess, if I could add in my head. But that's a lot of money. So I want to make sure we get the categories right.
So Rob and Sotaria, Todd Penny, Coventry. Is it going to be the same criteria as the last bridge solicitation?
The eligibility will be.
Yes.
That's the LOTSIP eligibility.
Yeah.
But the criteria for selection, the last solicitation was sufficiency rating, and they don't publish those anymore. They use a different scale.
Yeah.
So we have to use the other scale. Some combination.
They use a numerical scale. They use like anything 4 and under
okay.
will be eligible.
Yeah,
if you're looking at scale,
I'd have to do a little bit. But we have two bridges that were just applied for the state local bridge program, the 50% funding. So I'd have to just double check to make sure that they were eligible.
Yeah, it'd have to be 20 feet, foot, or on an eligible roadway.
Right.
Under LOTSIP.
6 foot, 20 feet or 6 feet and greater on an eligible roadway.
Correct.
And we probably missed that criteria on both of them. Okay. But we do have other bridges. So, I mean, I guess... I'm looking at this for the first time. So we do have other bridges that would qualify. So I might want the $8 million.
I could, Rob. I think there is definitely an appetite to add bridges to the LOTSIP. I just think it is important to keep in mind what we've historically seen is that because of the complexity of these projects, the bridge projects are going to always have larger increases than other projects. But being that we are trying to overprogram, they may be a good fit.
So would you be in support of a larger solicitation or the $6 million or the $8 million or larger? I mean,
I'm going to take the $8 million.
I think Jeff has Jeff Doolittle has his hand raised.
Yeah, hi, I agree. I think we should allocate $8 million if we can for bridges because the price of steel and concrete has gone up substantially in the last year. But maybe there's an opportunity to be flexible depending on the submissions. You got about 18 to 19 million, almost 19 between bridges and road reconstruction. You know, so maybe you put it out as the goal is 8 million. And if you don't get enough submissions, you could fall back to the lower amount.
That's a great point.
Or in reverse, if we don't get enough solutions in other categories, we could allocate more to bridges or something like that. But yeah.
Right. As long as we don't exceed the total. So we could do the 25 million and the allocations could be flexible, but we'll keep with these allocations. That would be the goal.
Why make it 27 million and just increase the bottom one? Because in the top one, the rural communities is a 63% reduction.
We could certainly do that.
Yeah, we could do that.
We were looking to spread it over 2 years where next year we were increasing from our typical 38 to 43. So we're putting another 5 million for next year, but we could put any amount of that 5 million in this year's, you know.
If you made that 8 and made it 27 million.
Okay.
Okay, sure.
You know, you're looking, like everybody said, you're looking at three or four projects in the bridge category. You know, they're going to be in that range.
For the 8 million.
Going to be 1.5 to 2 million. You know, that's the range you're looking at.
I mean, we're on board with that if everyone else agrees.
Everyone comfortable with that? Hear no objections. Sounds good. Thanks, Peter. Anything else on that? You don't need any action on that, right?
No, we do not.
Okay.
So, Tori, so what's the final decision on this? How should this be summarized?
So we'll do the 8 million on the bridge projects and increase the total to 27 million. We'll keep the second funding allocations. We're just going to add 2 million to the bridge. So it will be total 27 million.
Right.
And it will be reflected in the selection policy for next month.
All right, moving on to number 6, Safe Streets et al. Roger?
Okay. The US DOT is putting out a Safe Streets and Roads for All grant program. And the goal is to improve roadway safety by reducing fatalities and serious injuries. And eligible applicants are town governments and MPOs. So application deadline is September 15th. Grants are submitted directly to the US DOT by applicants. They have $1 billion set aside for the next 5 years. The federal match is 80%, and there's a 20% local match required. Municipalities and MPOs are eligible. State DOTs are not eligible. There's two grant types, action plan grants to write a action plan, and implementation grants. Applicants can't apply for both. You can apply for either one or the other, an implementation grant or an action grant. So applicants must have an existing action plan. We'll talk more about that in a minute, in order to get to apply for an implementation grant. And CROG staff, we do have our regional transportation safety plan, which we approved, CROG approved in 2020. It was developed with the DOT and CROG staff, and the towns all got involved with that. We will be seeking to approve some revisions and update to that at our July Transportation Committee meeting so that we bring that into compliance with the requirements of an action plan as stated in this grant. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Applications can be improvements on state-owned roads. But you do need an agreement with the state, the town would. In general, the US DOT talks a lot about favoring multi-jurisdictional applications. And so CROG staff wants to help facilitate that and work to make that happen. So then, Ryan, on our next page there's a lot of detail on the US DOT website. They had some good webinars on that link on the top of this document, which was in the documents for the meeting. The June 23rd meeting that happened, the slides are available. It talks about implementation grants, which I think would be most of interest by our towns. And the recording will likely be posted in the days ahead. So the notice of funding opportunity, all the details are in the notice of funding, the NOFO. The website link is also in this email. And the application deadline is September 15th. If a town's interested in applying, you must get this unique entity identifier. If you don't already have that they say takes about a month. The deadline for any technical questions is August 15th. And so the two type of grants, the action plan grant is, there's no technical minimum amount. But they are, the expected minimum is 200,000, and expected maximum are listed there too. The implementation grants are, there's no technical minimum, but expected minimums for urban areas are 5 million and for rural areas are 3 million. So in order to be eligible for implementation grants, you must be the owner or maintainer of the roadway facility and have safety responsibilities or have an agreement. Next slide there, Ryan. Have an agreement with the agency. So if a town wants to apply for a safety project on a town road, on a state road, you'd have to have an agreement with the state DOT. A little more later on that. Cost sharing, 80% federal, 20% local. Self-certification. So in the NOFO, there is a table two, a self-certification eligibility worksheet. And we have, Crockstaff has reviewed that in detail. And that must meet the criteria of that worksheet, must be met in order to apply for an implementation grant. So we have looked at that and identified some aspects of our regional transportation safety plan and other documents like our metropolitan transportation plan that need some tweaking in order to, some additions in order to have it meet the self-certification worksheet. And we are planning to have that ready for approval. So the revisions at our next July Transportation Committee meeting. I'll show more about that in one more slide yet. State roads. The towns could apply for improvements on state roads. If that would be a project that you're interested in, let us know so that we can help coordinate that effort. And we would like to also on multi-jurisdictional applications, we would like to have a meeting or a little workshop in the next weeks to go over this grant opportunity with the town. So if you're interested at this point, that this grant opportunity looks interesting to you, please contact me so that we can be sure that we schedule a workshop that you're able to attend in the next few weeks. So implementation grants, most our town applicants, it's important that activities must be tied directly to projects and strategies that are identified in the action plan. So our action plan is basically our regional transportation safety plan. And at the bottom of that screen lists the various locations in the regional transportation safety plan where specific projects are shown. So we have table 5.2.1, top crash intersections. We have a table of top crash corridors, appendix D, our top non-motorized crash corridors that rank specific projects or project locations. And appendix D is top non-motorized crash intersections. And then appendix A are all the various municipal reports for each town. Each town has its own section and projects are also identified in there. So next slide. The link to our
Rod, you're on mute somehow.
Sorry about that. So our supplemental, and so also in addition to supporting towns in developing a implementation grant, CROG does plan to put together an action grant so that we would develop a more robust action plan, regional transportation safety plan, and include some of the items that the NOFO indicates that a strong action plan contains. And so there's a number of things like the oversight committee, equity considerations, policy and process changes, various things that might not have been strongly shown in our regional transportation safety plan that we'd like to update or add. And so CROG staff wants to get and is intending to put an action plan grant application together. Action plan grants also could be made by towns. And then part of this document that was posted has a number of different, I just attached a number of different things from the US DOT website with a lot of details. And we'll, on the next slide, we have a few of those. Here's the overall flow chart, which basically at the bottom shows if you have, if you're ready with an action plan, you could apply for an implementation grant, yes. So that's what we're trying to make, do our best to make available for towns by updating our regional transportation safety plan. So you could apply for an implementation grant. And at the same time, CROG, a separate entity, will apply for a action plan grant, a supplemental action plan. And then next slide, we have, here's just the template, just for the overall start of an application. So it does allow for joint applicants. So one town could take the lead of a project that incorporates town projects from several towns. And I think I didn't mention that the costs of administering multi-jurisdictional partners is reimbursable. So if one town would, in your grant application, show the administrative costs necessary to administer the grant among multi-jurisdictions, that, that cost is reimbursable. Next slide is our approach to getting the self-certification eligibility worksheet in good shape for our towns to submit that along with their application. One aspect is that question 7 of the table requires that there be a specific time range for the projects. So currently in our transportation safety plan, we've identified costs, low cost, medium cost, high cost. And as you see in the bullets there, currently we intend to associate a time frame along with the costs to bring that into compliance. Like the low cost would be a 1-year time frame, a high cost would be a 5-year time frame. And that would be our starting point for revising that in the next couple of weeks. And then the next slide, this is the actual, what we've developed so far, the self-certification worksheet that is in the grant. It requires that the applicant have a definite yes to questions number 3, 7, and 9. And those questions are in the left column of that sheet. And then in the right column is our actual response for CROG in response to those questions on the left. So with a document and page number from our RSTP. And in, as you see in red at the bottom on the, you see the blue number 7 in the left column. And on the right, in order to bring this into compliance so that we are self-certifying, we need to make those revisions to those tables to get the time year ranges in to various tables and the appendix. And these are the other questions. Question 9 has to be a definite yes. And then the other questions, we need yeses on 4 of 6 questions. And we have 1, 2, and 4. We have a yes on 1, a yes on 2, a no on 4. And do we have the next page up there as well? Yes, and then 8, we had a no. And then yes, 5, 6. Oh, I might have an 8, we have a yes. So that's our development of that worksheet. And I think briefly, there's a lot of information there. This is our transportation safety plan document title page. And we have a sample on the next slide of, these are the top crash intersection locations. So these are some of the specific projects, for example, that could be identified for an implementation grant. And there's another example. Here's our top crash corridors in table 5.2.2. Those are corridor locations with specific projects in towns. And you can see on the right column with the cost, we'll have to put some time ranges on that to bring that to, into that self-certification worksheet compliance. And then the next slide is our a sample of our appendix. This is what our appendix material looks like. There's about three or four pages for each town. And then this, and then there's particular projects identified. So I think that was the last slide we had, I believe. And so if there's questions, shoot.
And just to reiterate, what we want to do as a region is offer this workshop coming up to get not only get towns feedbacks today, but get all those towns in the same room. We can, as long as projects are tied to this plan, they don't have to be similar. So, you know, in one town, if you have a roundabout and another town wants to put in all new, you know, curve warning signs that are referenced in our plan, and another town wants to do, you know, rapid flashing beacons, those could be all be packaged into one project. And our aim would be to assist the towns in doing so to make it a more competitive grant application than an individual town might apply for themselves. And also those minimums are nothing, you know, they're not hard minimums, but when you talk about a suggested minimum of $5 million, that's, you know, $1 million match. So in aggregating these, you might get a bunch of more smaller projects getting up to that minimum amount. So that's our thought on the workshop and assisting in any type of a regional application going in, referencing our plan. So sorry to interrupt, Raj. I just thought I'd.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Absolutely.
Any comments, Rich? We're bumping up on time here. We've already run into the Transportation Committee's time, and we still have another item to do. So I think probably the best thing, unless someone has a really pressing question, is to look to the workshop to really move on this. But I would encourage, something that is regional in nature to be competitive. I think Rob is absolutely correct. If we do it town by town, we will not be competitive on a nationwide basis.
Thanks, John.
All right, let's move on to number 7, the lots of funding increase for the Simsbury Bloomfield Multi-Use Trail.
Do we want to do that now, or do we want to do it in the Transportation Committee?
Move approval.
It's a motion on the floor to move it approved. Is there a second?
Second. Todd Penny, Coventry.
The motion is made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Who made the motion, please?
Peter.
Who made the motion?
Peter.
Thank you.
Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? It is unanimous.
Great. Thank you.
God bless them. Any other business to come before the committee other than the fact that we have a subcommittee scheduled for July 25 at 11:30 a.m.? Hearing none, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Was that Tom Roy?
That was Tom Roy with the second. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, we stand adjourned until July 25. Yeah.